10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I'm live across the country, from Maine to Sacramento. Welcome, Walter M. Sterling. And I have an existential threat to share with you in just a second.
There's an old guy who's on the air, and they call him Sterling. The bosses hired him on a dare, and they call him Sterling. Kind of hip, kind of odd.
Sterling.
Kind of smart, kind of strange.
Sterling.
A different show that's here to stay, and they call it Sterling.
Sterling. Every damn night.
All right, it's 8 minutes past the hour. 8 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling on a wacky holiday weekend. Yes, it's true. I'm live. Now, I can assure you there is nothing else on the radio at this time that's live. I'm it. And thank you, Lee Harris, music director, executive producer of all things musical, for that brand new weatherbed. We have been waiting for 2 or 3 weeks for a brand new weatherbed. PAMS, TM, Jams, they all refused. All the official jingle companies refused. The president of PAMS once said to me, "Well, you know, Walter, you're a contrarian." Now, I had never heard the term before. I had to rush home, open the dictionary, which will tell you how long ago it was. You're a contrarian. And when I read what it meant, I'm like, yeah, I like that. I want to be that. I want to be a contrarian. Little did I realize that it's a alienating term, and not in the Dave Scott way. It's an alienating term. If I tell people I'm a contrarian, they're not going to want to hang around. They're not going to gather around. Oh, well, Walter's a contrarian. Let's spend time with him. It'll be comfortable, relaxing. We can have Diet Coke. No problem. No, in fact, I can't think of anything more repulsive in a social situation. Then if you're asked, well, what do you do? Walter, what do you do? I'm a contrarian. What? I'm a contrarian. I thought you were in radio. Yes, that means I'm a contrarian. Well, what do you mean? It means that there's nothing in media that applies to the gravity of radio. Certainly not the gravitas of radio. We're no 60 Minutes. That was the biggest stupid story, that 60-minute story that nobody cares about. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. Oh, my gosh, the hand-wringing of media. Oh, my gosh, a story was spiked at 60 Minutes. Whoa! And it was spiked by corporate, I'm sure. Dame Paley, I am sure, CEO, founder, President Bailey, never spiked a story. I bet you he never did. He gave them complete control, like hell. Like hell. I promise you, on 60 Minutes and any other big newscast, that rundown was put on Mr. Paley's desk whenever it was convenient for Mr. Paley. And if he wanted to spike a story or ask a lot of very annoying questions, he would sit down with Edward R. Murrow and ask a lot of very annoying questions to him and George Clooney, and it would be worked out. Or not. The most amazing spiking, the most amazing interference by an owner I ever saw was by William Randolph Hearst. What? Yeah. In the Hearst newspapers, which included the Journal American in New York City, the New York City Journal American in the 60s, which was there until there was a big newspaper strike. There had been 7 daily newspapers in New York City. 7. And, 5 of them were put out of business by the strike, but it gave birth to WINS New York. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. But I digress, Lee. I digress. One of my best friends in life is a woman named Bridget O'Brien, who went on to be a reporter for the Wall Street Journal and to be a professor at Columbia University. And her sister, Kate, is the head of, Scripps Howard News Service, the Scripps Howard Television News Service. Lovely women, brilliant women, absolutely freaking brilliant. And when their father, big-time columnist Jack O'Brien, the most powerful television columnist in America through the 50s and 60s. When he passed away, they found a treasure trove of correspondence between the world and their father. And one of the pieces of correspondence was a note from Hearst to Jack. You were a little rough this week in your review of the Jackie Gleason show. Please fix it, because we're planning to do a major advertising deal with him. Whoa, yes, lots of autonomy there in them olden days. Everybody was free, freedom of speech. Well, right away, Jack O'Brien wrote a new column the next week praising the Gleason show. Praising the Gleason show. Now, this was not hypocritical. This was pragmatic. He was an opinion writer. He was given his opinion. Now he had a new opinion. Hey, no problem. I got to go to dinner. He writes a new column that was praising the Gleason show, the Jackie Gleason show. A couple days later, he gets a handwritten note from Jackie Gleason that said, Jack, thanks. You're a good boy. Thanks. You're a good boy. Boy, freedom of the press. No problem. Corporate would never get involved. No owner would get involved with the content of the newspaper. The Journal American in New York City, William Randolph Hearst writing notes to columnists. Change it. No, that'd never happen. My, this is a Barry woman. She seems to be a lot of trouble. She seems to be a lot of trouble. I promise you, through the history of CBS News, there has been many, many times an editor, someone in corporate, Don Hewitt or Don Hewitt or Bill Paley to Don Hewitt said, you know, maybe we don't, or maybe could you sit that one out until I, you know, deal with McCarthy? Could we sit on it a couple of years till I deal with McCarthy? What, would that be possible? You think? Could we do that? It's nothing new. Nothing new. The problem that new person at CBS, the new chief of editorial content, was she was not one of them. She did not come up through the angry old ranks of angry old reporters at CBS News. She didn't come up through those ranks. She came from the outside. It didn't matter who she was. She was from the outside. You have to play ball from the inside. I can safely say that as a group of people, there's nothing angrier than a newsroom that's been together for a very long time. All right, I've dealt with them. When I was at ABC, when I was at the ABC radio network, I wanted them to freshen up their tact on the ABC FM network. You would think I was freaking Satan. You know, could we just relax a little here and be conversational? Oh, you know, hard news. We believe in hard news. We believe in hard news. Yes, that's why you have hard heads. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
This is Matthias Bohm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies. Live on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, find out about the Florida woman who killed both her ex-husbands on the same day. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
A sad day for lonely men. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. Woo! Yeah, that's right. Sterling every damn night.
Hey! All right, it's 20 past the hour with Walter Sterling live on the radio. Yes, live on the radio because I have a phone. And I love to talk to you. Why? Because it kills time. Every talk show host really hopes there will be many phone calls because they have not prepared enough. When a phone call comes in or multiple phone calls, well, my gosh, then you're doing all the work. Fantastic. Time for you to do some work. Here's your phone number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Particularly interested in the following subjects. Choose one. It's like that jury in Manhattan for Donald Trump a year ago. Remember that horror show where the judge actually didn't have anything to convict him of and threw out, if he did any of these 80 things, you can say he's guilty. And that's what happened. Oh, my God. Of course it was going to be overturned. Haven't heard another peep about that judge or that trial. Wonder why we haven't heard another peep about that judge or that trial. Unless they're hiding. All right. We can talk about the following things. Snow. If you're driving in snow, I want to know. Boy, there's a good radio station. There's a damn good all-news station slogan. If you're driving in snow, I want to know. 855, here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Yes, Father Drucker, yes. Check your email. Yes, you'll be on later. Yes, Father. Heavenly, divine providence, angels came down and said, you'll put Father Drucker on the air or else you'll go to hell. It's a Catholic thing. Then, I'd love to hear about you driving through snow. Thank you. The challenge of snow is the best radio there is. Snow and radio were born to be together. 855-839-1210. What you got for Christmas, not. There was something you wanted for Christmas and you didn't get it. I'd like to know what that is. The resentment gift. The gift that has caused you a resentment because you didn't get it. What didn't you get? You don't have to give your name. In fact, you can disguise your voice as though you're a mafia informant on NBC's Nightline. 855-839-1210. Major disappointment in the gift department this Christmas. And why you think it's stupid to go out on New Year's. And there's nothing stupider. It's not just being an amateur drunk. I know you're a drunk. And you, as a drunk, know that it's amateur night. No real alcoholic, no real drunk goes out on New Year's. Silly. It's so silly. Why you don't go out on New Year's. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I look forward to talking with you live. Now, the existential threat of my life took place the past week. My relationship with the dishwasher determines my happiness on any given day. If I come downstairs and find that the dishwasher has been mysteriously emptied by others, I'm having a good day. How often does that happen? Rarely. Then, during the holidays, the dishwasher is used more and more and more. Those rubber washers inside, I can feel and smell them melting. Now I have to sit up in my chair. Twice a show, I have to sit up and adjust the mic. Okay. I have to empty the dishwasher much more when all of the children are home. Oh, isn't it wonderful that all of our children are home at this time? No. No, it's not. Because it triples the work for me, Walter Sterling. It triples my workload. When all the kids are home, I'm supposed to be all romantic and wonderful and loving about my children being home. And yes, on one level, I certainly am. But on the practical eye level, it's just more work. And then if I say to any of these angels, would you empty the dishwasher? No, I have to go out now. I have to see my friends. I've got to go see my friends. Or even better, no, I have to take a nap now. I can't do anything right now. I have to take a nap. Then if I say, well, could you fill the dishwasher later? No, I have to see Joe. Joe and I are going out later. What? Yeah. No, I have to do food shopping. No, I have to... Whatever it is, if it comes to the dishwasher, they will not help. Imagine if there was no dishwasher. Imagine a world where there was no dishwasher. What would they do? They wouldn't know what to do. You see, my children were blessed. They were raised for the first 10 years of their life in a well-financed house that had a housekeeper and a nanny. But that's when I wore a suit. Once I stopped wearing a suit, magically the money disappeared and I became relatable. It was an artistic moment. No, I didn't lack funds. I became relatable. You and I were on an even playing field. And as a result, you and I can talk on the radio at 855-839-1210 as one. And therefore, my ratings are exactly the same. Number one. Meanwhile, other talk show hosts, and I wish them all well, I'm number 14 in the demo. Well, you know why you're number 14 in the demo? You're making too much money. You're not relatable. I'll never forget there was a very famous morning man in New York City who has family members who are still alive. And I won't say his name, but a very nice man and insanely professional. But he went from making normal money, and in his next contract, he went to making almost $2 million a year. And he went from complaining about the traffic on the Long Island Expressway to get to work to discussing the challenge of going on safaris with Malcolm Forbes. And the minute I heard him talk about the safaris with Malcolm Forbes, I knew it was all over. And it was. Stop being number one, slowly eroded. His demographic got older and older, and it got older and older because the older a listener is, the less likely they are to get out of bed and change the station. Pretty much he had a captive audience because they were stuck in bed because they could not get out to change the station. The rest of them were happy to change the station because they weren't going on safaris with Malcolm Forbes. Whole different dynamics. But you and I are relatable because my biggest challenge is it's the end of the month, and that means I'm buying quarts of milk rather than half gallons of milk. Can you relate to that? Quarts of milk rather than half gallons of milk. The cheaper, the high price spread. No, we're okay. And you're okay, too. Our needs are met because of what I was taught in third grade. There are three necessities to life: food, clothing, shelter. Trips to Bermuda, not a necessity. Saks, not a necessity. The food court, that's fine dining to me. Because where else are you going to get bourbon chicken? You're not going to get bourbon chicken anyplace else. It's only at food courts. Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood will discuss the weekend box office and which movie you would have seen if you could have afforded $90 for two tickets. And then, we've got Father Drucker and JB Bakery, the dynamics, the life force of a bakery, how everybody gets along in a bakery at Christmas time. And I want to talk to you. 855-839-1210 is my number. Trouble on the roads. I want to hear about that. You're driving an 18-wheeler. I want to know the biggest jerks you've seen so far this weekend. Things you should have gotten for Christmas, but you didn't. I'd like to hear about that. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. My name is Walter M. Sterling. I am here every Sunday night. 3 hours of pure joy. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling, Sterling. Sterling, Sterling, every damn, Sterling, every damn night. Sterling, every damn night. Sterling, every damn night, every damn night. Goodbye, sunshine, hello night. Walter's here and he's always right. When he's on the air, you should all pull up a chair. Late nights are his, and Sterling is yours and mine.
All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, with Travis in Sacramento. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Hey, Walter, how's it going?
Travis, I hope your radio's off. It's
can
not.
You hear me now, Walter?
Travis, when you're on hold, you hear me. You don't have to have the radio on. It just screws everything.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, goodbye. Thank you for calling. Thank you very much for calling. Let's hear from Mateus.
Boom, Sterling every damn night.
You know, Mateus, do you know when the seven-second delay was invented?
Tell me, Walter.
1957. And since 1957, hosts like you and me have said to beloved listener, we're on a delay. And when you call in, turn off your radio, stop listening on the app, you'll be able to hear everything you need to hear on hold. And every radio station in America, even the bad ones, feed the program on hold, and you don't have to hear it on delay. And then every host like me says to producers, you must tell them to turn off their radios. And
you're correct.
We have never met that producer.
Well, I actually had one of your producers tell me to turn off my radio when I was monitoring it when I phoned in a few months ago. I don't remember which one it was, but it actually did occur. So I'm going to give kudos to one of your producers that towed the line appropriately.
They're all good. Therefore, we cannot assign blame to any one of them. But I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this quick story. Years ago, there was a Vladimir Posner, the Russian PR hack, who was always on with Phil Donahue. And he was born in Brooklyn. He did not have a Russian accent, but he was a Russian citizen, and he worked for the Soviet government, and he was on American television shows all the time. And there he was on with, he was on a public television show, a PBS show. And he was going on, and they were asking, and I had two questions to ask him. I'm like, I'm going to call. I call in, and I got a crash course in a state-of-the-art how to clear phone calls. She answers the phone. She says, what do you want to talk to Vladimir about? I tell her. She says, make it shorter. Hold on. She comes back to me, and she says, what do you want to talk to him about? And I told her again. She says, make it shorter. And she came back to me a third time. And when I got it short and tight and bright, she says, make sure your TV's off. You're next. So I knew I was next. I knew I was rehearsed. And I knew my TV had better damn well be off. And by the way, I'm very proud of the because it was on with Charlie Rose. And Charlie Rose should have asked Posner these two questions. The Russian hack, the man who was the spokesperson for the Soviet Union, these are the two questions I asked him. I said, we were taught in communism you're all paid the same. Are you all paid the same?
Great question.
He said, no, we are not all paid the same. We get raises and da-da-da. And I said, do they monitor your broadcast in America? Does the Russian government go over tapes with you and give you notes? And he said, no, but the embassies do. Russian in the embassies in the U.S. will give me notes. And I said, have you ever been punished for anything you said? He said, yes, I was against our participation in Afghanistan, and my travel privileges were suspended for 2 years. Now, why didn't Charlie Rose ask those questions?
You know, and he was such a great interviewer. I adored him. But it's good point. He should have asked those questions. But we have you, and you're a contrarian. You've said so in the broadcast. So, you know, maybe your contrary nature made it possible for you to come up with better questions.
And number one. All right, Mateus, what happened at the box office? Did that annoying Timothée Chardonnay movie come out this weekend?
It did, and it is annoying, and he's annoying in it. And that is third at the box office, raking in $16 million. Zootopia is topping it, and that's been out for a couple of weeks, I think, since Thanksgiving. It made $20 million last weekend, but in total it's done $321 million since that holiday. And the number one movie in the country is Jim Cameron's Avatar: Fire and Ash, which made $64 million. That's quite more than the 16 that Marty made just this weekend. And since opening has made $218 million. I think Jim Cameron knows how to make money, which is why, as you mentioned in previous broadcasts, they just tell him, sure thing, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I'm sure Jim Cameron gets no notes from the studio.
And certainly not from the embassy.
No, except what would you like for lunch, Mr. Cameron? That's the only note he'd get. How did you feel about the Jim Cameron movie? Do you think it was it as good as the other Avatars or better? What'd you think?
Well, some of them were made simultaneously and released later, so that the actors in it that are actual real people that are doing the modeling for the computers, seem to be within the right age and voice and sound. And I was thoroughly entertained by this one. He's got a couple more coming out later, so this saga will continue. But I was thoroughly entertained by the whole thing. I mean, it was unnecessarily long. But the special effects, of course, are spectacular. Some of the frame rates faster. It's an awesome experience. And in 3D, it was in your lap and bigger than life. So as a sensation, as a something you can only see in a theater kind of experience, it's pretty fun and entertaining. So what more do you want? I mean, he can make a good movie. There's no denying it.
Did The Housemaid come out already? Was that out this weekend?
It was. It came in at fourth place at $15 million. I've yet to see it.
We don't know if Sydney Sweeney is nude.
I haven't heard yet, but I have to investigate each frame to be sure.
That'll take some time.
Yes. It says 24 go through in 1 second, and 90 feet go through in a minute. Well, at least in the days of film. Now it's digital, so I guess it's at 30 or 60 frames. Who knows? But certainly worth observing.
Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried in the same movie, if they're both nude, well, that's got to be number one at the box office, leading me to believe that maybe both of them aren't nude, and that's why I came in at number four. Now, what was the other question?
Speaking of,
go ahead.
Amanda Seyfried nude is something you can see in a movie called A Testament of Anne Lee, which just opened in New York and L.A. I'll be talking about it next week on this show because most of the theaters in the rest of the country won't get it next week. But in that film, where she plays an early Shaker driven by God to settle in the United States and continue her religion, there are moments of her nudity. So you can look forward to that, and I'll describe it in vivid detail one Sunday from today.
Season of Miracles. Now, this Marty movie with Timothée Chalamet, what the hell is that about?
Well, Marty Supreme is about a driven young kid who nobody respects. This is set in New York in 1952 on the Lower East Side, and he has only one dream that no one believes in, to be the best table tennis champion of the world. Now, we follow his adventure from shoe salesman in a company he can't stand, and he steps on everyone on his way to reach his goal, including his boss, his girlfriend, and anyone who tries to help him. He uses them all until they can do no more for them. Gwyneth Paltrow plays Actus K. Stone, with whom he has a recurring affair, and primarily to get to her husband, played by Kevin O'Leary. Yes, Shark Tank Kevin O'Leary, to get money out of him to reach his goal to compete in a table tennis abroad. And Kevin O'Leary plays Kevin O'Leary in this. He's exactly the way he is on Shark Tank. Was it acting? Probably not. But for typecasting, I think that's why he got the part. At any rate, I thought he was pretty good in it. But then again, I haven't watched Shark Tank to the degree I watched him in this Marty Supreme movie. At any rate, Fran Drescher's in this. She plays Marty Supreme's, or that is to say, Marty Mauser. That's the character's name's mother. And truly, this character has no redeeming social value. He is a complete pain from start to finish. There's no reason to like him. His performance is excellent. You really don't like him at all. But if you've got a movie where you don't like anybody in the movie, it's hard to get engaged about caring what the heck happens to him. And that was my problem with this movie. A lot of oddball casting, too, like magician Penn Jillette's in it, Isaac Mizrahi, the fashion designer, and even David Mamet, the famous playwright, has a little bit part. So they threw in all these, you know, oddball people to make you go, isn't that, you know, so little distractions. They really made you believe it was really the hot, sticky, humid Lower East Side of New York. The costumes are believable. But then they throw you out of this period of 1952 by playing modern rap music in some parts of the soundtrack, and then period music from the time, which was really distracting. So I don't know. I mean, it's his Chalamet's character is so disagreeable. It's hard to like him, and it's hard to like the movie Marty Supreme, even though it had some good points. So it's all over the map.
All of the actors are disagreeable. And then in case that wasn't enough, they threw in rap music. All right, it's Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, find out about the Florida woman who killed both her ex-husbands on the same day. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
A sad day for lonely men. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
How do you view lesbian relationships?
Usually in full HD.
Feel the dough, eat the dough.
All right, here's JB Bakery, Steve the Baker, and Selena, the Executive Vice President of Marketing, and Father Jim Drucker, their doorman, an actual Catholic priest, is the doorman at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. And they are here tonight because most people work for businesses with fewer than 10 employees. 90% of Americans work in businesses with fewer than 10 employees. They don't work in the big buildings. JB Bakery, a small business, a small retailer, makes a great product, an incredible product, but has major personnel issues. Now, at the holidays, Steve, owner, do the people who work for you demand bonuses?
They, Father Drucker gave them a bonus.
It's not the question.
You know, sometimes they deserve bonuses. I do like to give them a little bit extra, but you know what? The customers are so joyous and generous and happy to be at the store that the gratuities are very high at Christmas. And I know last week you were talking about tipping, and I think the nation's in over tipping status right now. So I agree with you, Walter. I think tips are getting a little bit out of hand.
But stop.
You know what?
Just
the holidays,
stop.
They
hey, Steve. Hey, Jersey. Stop. You didn't answer my question. You did not answer the question, which was, do your employees demand a bonus at Christmas?
I have not had anybody demand it and come in my face and say, hey, I get a bonus. The last guy that did that, I let him go.
Do you feel it's appropriate at a retail store where they're not served, they don't have to clear a table for your employees to get a tip for selling baked goods?
I believe that that's true. However, the customers enjoy tipping.
Walter,
no.
I was...
No, no Walter, customer enjoy. Yes, Father.
I love the children very much. I don't have much money. For my priestly pension, I put a bill into each envelope for 21 of the people that work there. In the back, in the kitchen, the cooks, Eric and Tommy Gall, and Tommy and all the gang. So in a way, I guess you could say I gave a bonus in love.
Yeah, but nobody asked. Now, Selena, Executive Vice President of Marketing, what is the gossip, what is the scuttlebutt about Christmas bonuses at JB Bakery?
Well, I think now is the time when everything's settling down, when the real arguments are going to start. I mean, now everybody's at each other's necks, mostly about who's cleaning up what. So everybody's going to be thinking about money probably by next week when we realize we still got to pay off the credit card bills. So I'm still waiting on the bonus arguments. But really, right now, it's all, well, who's going to clean up my bench before I start working? And, well, who's going to clean up this? And I'm not going to clean up after myself. And it's just, that's what everybody's really arguing about now.
Wow. Here's a shocker. I know for a fact that Howard Schultz, the billionaire founder of Starbucks, went to a Starbucks last week and did not tip and complained that it took too long. Got that? Now, what is the name of the recipe that you would like to share with the Midnight Misfits, Steve? What's the name of the recipe?
The Golden Butter Pound Cake.
The Golden Butter Pound Cake. I've got the recipe from Steve the Baker right here. It is for good luck in the new year. All you have to do is send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I will send you the recipe before the end of the show. There's no other service like this in American radio. It doesn't exist anyplace else in American radio.
Amen.
But Steve makes a great recipe, and they're fun, and they're easy, and they're well done. I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Stephen, for being a good sport, and Selena, for being a good sport and putting up with Stephen, and Father Drucker, for not sending us all to hell. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night. Walter M. Sterling. Let's see. We've got a phone number. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We are live, live, live. What else is live? Nothing. There's no other live show. When you go on the radio, what happens? You become the media. Yes, you become the media. At 855-839-1210 and an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. That's where you send me a note, put in the subject line recipe, and I will send you the recipe that JB Bakery has put together for us for Midnight Misfits for good luck for the new year. What is that again, Walter? Yeah, it's waltermsterling@gmail.com. This is Sterling every damn Sunday night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right. If you see snow, I want to know. We're live. My number is 855-839-1210.
Everything is swinging. Everybody's singing with the bright, exciting sound of Sterling every damn night.
8 minutes past the hour. 8 minutes past the hour at KFBK in Sacramento. Oh my God. WGAN. Oh my God. KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas. Yes, I super serve every type of station from Coffeyville, Kansas, to Portland, Maine, to Sacramento, to Philadelphia, WPHT Philadelphia, KMBZ Kansas City, the giant KMOX, and the origin story of American radio, KDKA, the origin story of American radio. And I want to congratulate Michael Richman, Peggy Denise Rothenberg, Perry and Denise Rothenberg. I'm so excited. I can't even think straight. I'm so excited. Roger McCord, Bill Modica, Benita Dixon, for having the common sense to demand a golden pound cake recipe from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Plus, you will get the bonus track of the recipe for the best hot chocolate you have ever had in your life. And a way to solve your foot problem. That problem you've got right now, which is that your foot is cold and deserves cozy, and your socks have holes in them. All of these problems are solved with one email for me, Walter Sterling. And this isn't like other shows where you're going to have to wait 2 weeks to get the golden pound cake recipe or the solution for your feet or the hot chocolate recipe. Perry and Denise Rothenberg, Michael Richman, Roger McCord, Bill Modica, Benita Dixon, they've already gotten them. They heard them moments ago, and they have already received these gifts from me, Walter Sterling, live on the radio. Right now, hundreds of thousands, or maybe three or four, radio people are listening to the show going, how is he number one? How is this crap number one? Why isn't he talking about serious things? Because I believe when it's cold and there's a hole in the bottom of your sock, there is nothing more serious, is there? If you open the basement door, and what do you see down there? On Christmas Day, what do you see down there? Water. Water on the floor of the basement. What is more serious than that? And tomorrow when you say, all right, I'll go to work for a couple days. And you go to your car and you turn it on, and what do you see flashing in the night sky? The check engine light. Is there anything more vital on a Monday morning? Anything in Congress? Anything on MSNBC, anything on the news, anything more important than a check engine light? No, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important to me than a flashing check engine light or even something scarier. There are scarier warning lights that you may have never been seen on your car. What if you got into your car tomorrow morning and an engine light went on, a dashboard light got on, a dash light goes on, and it's one you've never seen before, but it looks ominous because it is. Because it is ominous. And you don't know where between your home, your apartment, and your so-called place of employment, where that car just might stop. Just going to go, no more. No more, buddy. We're done. Our relationship is over. And you're going to have to call AAA. And tomorrow morning, you know what you're going to hear from AAA? It'll be an hour and 50 minutes. What? An hour and 50 minutes. And the scary thing about AAA, and here's my AAA tip. They have regional call centers. If you're in Philadelphia, you might be getting somebody in Portland, Maine. You might be getting somebody in New Hampshire. You can say, I need a local call center. I want a local call center. Even smarter. Look up AAA near you. Find the local office. Call them. That will make this go much faster. But geez, they've added all kinds of stuff to that. There was a time you could join AAA right now, and they'd come out for you right now. Instead, you could join AAA right now, and there's a hold on it for 24 hours, 48 hours before they'll respond to a call because they know what you're doing. They know you're signing up to get service right now, when in fact they want you for a year. These are my travel tips. There have been some trips that I've made in my life that I cherish and that were very important to me. And one of them is a few years ago, I decided I wanted to know what it was like to be in Rome on Christmas. There are places in the world where I'm sure you've thought, boy, I'd love to go there at this time or this time or this. I always wanted to be in Rome on Christmas. And it was before I was married. Therefore, I had freedom. And I booked what I had to book to get to Rome at Christmas time. Now, I was very lucky. I had tons of miles. And in this particular case, it was on Delta Airlines. Now, that was a sweet free trip. So I had a free trip to Rome, and I had so many miles that I was first class on Delta Airlines on a 747 to Rome at Christmas time. Nonstop Christmas time, Delta 747. 1B. You know, I take the aisle. 1B. It was the most beautiful boarding pass I've ever seen. I fly to Rome, and I had never been there. I didn't know anything about it. I asked, where should I stay? And a friend of mine says, stay at the Intercontinental. It's at the top of the Spanish Steps. That's where you want to be. There's another hotel right next to it that's much, much more expensive, but it's no better, because you'll be at the top of the Spanish Steps. Now, I didn't know what that meant, but it turns out, yes, when in Rome, I want to be at the top of the Spanish Steps. There's also a hotel called the Forum, which overlooks the amphitheater. But this was on top of the Spanish Steps. And at the bottom of the Spanish Steps is this spectacular Fifth Avenue-type shopping center, shopping area, with the magnificent premium shops that are open very late, and a great piazza, walk around, enjoy. It was beautiful. I get there, and I don't know why, but they liked me. I mean, I really don't know why. And I get, it wasn't a suite, but I got a great room, just a great room with a balcony. Now, I didn't need the balcony when it was December, but there was a big balcony. I could go out there, get a better view, and I was alone. I went there to see the Mass, to see the Pope's Mass on Christmas Eve. And I'll share with you what that was like and what Rome is like at Christmas in just seconds. This is a live radio show. I'm Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Happy New Year from Sterling every damn night.
It's 36 past the hour, 36 past the hour. We're live at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. What is the worst thing, the most difficult thing about the holidays? It's the thing that we never discuss. We're not allowed to discuss. Your current will be very annoyed with you if you even suggest there's a problem here. But it's very much a problem.
Why would I stay at a friend's house for any reason? I don't stay at people's houses if they invite me on vacation. Why would you stay at a friend's house when, if you can afford a hotel? Why would you put yourself through that? Just being up at night wondering, like, can I use this towel? Like, why would you do that? And then you wake up and they're all downstairs. We made breakfast. You want a pancake? I'm like, no, I don't want a pancake. I want a hotel. Is there a hotel around here? I don't want to be rude, but I just need my space. And I jerked off in that towel upstairs, which is okay to do at a hotel.
There is nothing worse than having to spend time in someone else's house. Because even if it's your parents, maybe especially if it's your parents, if you spend time in your parents' house, hold on. I'm having all sorts of trouble. There it is. There's my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, I have found my voice, and I can share it with you at 38 past the hour, 38 past the hour. In the 18-wheeler, the 4-wheeler, welcome. This is Sterling every damn Sunday. I am here every Sunday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. It's a shock to Paul Vandenberg, who owns the radio station in Albany, where they had 10 inches of snow. 10 inches of snow. When you spend a night at your parents' house, you are powerless. Your credit cards are no good there. Nothing, none of your totems of power have any meaning in your parents' house. You are stripped of your power symbols, of your superpowers, of your totems of power, of your actual power. You're stripped of it. Do your credit cards do you any good with your mother? No, I don't really care about that. Does your ability to make food do any good with your mother? Hey, Mom, no, I'm going to make a side dish. No, you're not. I'll make a side dish for dinner. No, just stay out of it. Right? Just stay out of it. I don't want you in the kitchen when I'm busy. Which is different than I don't want you in the kitchen. It's worse. I don't want you in the kitchen when I'm busy. And then you're stuck in the TV room. And that's a particular problem for people like me who know nothing about sports. I do not have the facility, the mental capability to understand most sports. Now, that may seem impossible to you because you're a real man, but I don't understand basketball. I can't follow it. I can respect anybody who can get a ball into a net. That's certainly worth $20, $30 million to me, obviously. Or football, third down, fourth down, flags. I have no idea. When they start shouting downs and flags, no idea what that means. Oh, I could explain it to you, Walter. I could explain it. I have spent my life with real jocks, football players, beautiful blonde women, any type of teacher you could imagine, willing and happy to explain football to me, Walter Sterling. And yet at no time have I understood it. And the third down means, and then you go here and there and another down, and that's what happens. No, don't get it. I don't understand. How many games is it? 14, 16? And they're willing to have lifelong concussions in their head for 14, 15 games. Baseball has 14, 15 games a week. Those players have like 14, 15 games a week. You stretch it out over 7 months? That's a sport? No, it's not a sport. That's why it's called a game. Football is a game. Baseball is a sport. Because there's endurance implied with baseball and bowling. However, football, I'll never understand it. And anybody I've known who's played football, except for Trevor Lawrence, I have never found to be really anybody I enjoyed talking to. I didn't say I didn't want to talk to them. I said, I don't, there's nothing we have in common. I don't think of women that way. I don't think of sports that way. I don't think of money that way. I don't think throwing the kid against the lockers in high school was really entertaining. I don't get any of that. Nothing about football I understand. Therefore, if I'm thrown into the TV room with the relatives, my uncle. If I get thrown in the TV, this is the Bills game. There's the Bills in Philadelphia, Bills and the Eagles. This is the real game. This is the real serious game. Yeah. The Eagles won, by the way. This is a real serious game.
When you're at my aunt's house, don't spend too much time in the bathroom. She knows you're in there. And take a look around. You want to leave it the way she had it. You see the two pieces of soap on the counter? They look like they've never been used. They haven't, so don't touch them. The towels hanging on the gold rack, those are for show. So you're going to have to figure out another way to dry your hands.
What do you do with guest towels? When you're in somebody else's house and you go into their little bathroom, the guest bathroom, the little bathroom, and you go in there, and there are the guest towels, the Christmas guest towels. Do I dry my hands on those? Those pristine, perfect towels? Am I allowed that those QVC towels? You can only get them at QVC. The holiday towels with the holly and the Santa, and the happy Santa, the drunk Santa, or the jokey Santa, the meme Santa. You can only get those from QVC or Home Shopping Network. And there they are hanging. Oh, yeah, I saw these on TV. And there they are hanging in your aunt's bathroom. What do I do? Because if I dry my hands on it, everybody will know I used it. And if I used it, am I supposed to put it in a bin, throw it down a laundry chute, give it to my aunt, say, confess and say I used this? What is the etiquette with guest house? I'm a guest. I can use it. But it never looks better after I use it. And if I ate like red Jell-O or something with cranberry and I got red dye on my hand, it's going to come off on that towel. There's going to be heck to pay. Heck. Every square inch, every breath in somebody else's house, if I'm spending a night there, is uncomfortable. If I have to get up to go to the bathroom at 2 a.m, that is the riskiest obstacle course there is, because in that room is my aunt and uncle, I think. I don't know if he sleeps separately, not sure. There's my female cousin in that bedroom. Oh my gosh, it's right across from the bathroom. It's a minefield. And for some reason, on the top floor, on the second floor, that's where they put the cat's litter box. That means at any moment at 2:30 a.m. without my glasses, I could step in the cat's litter box. This is a very risky event. Spending the night in someone else's house, terrifying. In the morning, if I get up ahead of everybody, what's the etiquette there? Can I make myself breakfast? Is food in the refrigerator all for me? Or is some of it not for me? I've been in homes where it'll say Alex's meatloaf. There'll be a tray of meatloaf and a cover, and on the cover it'll say Alex's meatloaf. Now, does that mean Alex made it and he's bragging? Or does that mean it has some special formula involving a medical condition that only Alex can eat it? Or does it mean it's his favorite and you'd better not touch it? These are the things that have to be divined and worked out while spending time at another person's house, even for a night. At the end of a night in someone else's house, I'm exhausted because I did not sleep. I just worried all night. How about you? Here's my phone number. It's live. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. My name is Walter Sterling. I am live on the radio right now. On this station, the shows that come on before and after me will not be live and therefore will be less than Sterling every damn Sunday.
stirring every night. With the popcorns alive, neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive, bullets over trailer parks under the moonlight sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, a crazed Florida divorcee was thrown behind bars after allegedly gunning down both her ex-husbands in separate broad day shootings on the same day, according to police. Susan Avalon, 48 years old, was cuffed Wednesday and slapped with murder charges after blasting one ex-hubby with bullets in Tampa, then traveling more than 50 miles to Manatee County to shoot her other ex-husband around 3 p.m., according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. Investigators say Avalon was embroiled in a bitter custody battles with her former spouses, which they believe may have sparked the cold-blooded killings. Police said the alleged killer targeted her first husband, 54-year-old man she divorced roughly 11 years ago, at his Manatee County home around 2:55 p.m., luring him to his open front door with stolen food from a Panera Bread before shooting him twice. The unidentified man was rushed to a nearby hospital, but succumbed to his injuries later that day. Now, surveillance footage captured Avalon walking into a nearby bread eatery and swiping food from the delivery pickup shelf without paying before heading to her ex-husband's home, according to authorities. So in addition to being a murderer, she's a cheap ass. Her live-in boyfriend allegedly told police she had recently tracked down her ex-husband's addresses. The exes reportedly had ongoing custody disputes of about $4,000 in unpaid child support, with Avalon facing a looming deadline to pay $200 or lose her driver's license. Investigators tracked her silver Honda Odyssey back to Citrus County home after the shooting and found her scrubbing the minivan with bleach and rags. When asked by the police about her ex-husband, she chillingly replied, "Which one?" Bradenton cops alerted Tampa authorities, who conducted a welfare check at the second husband's home at Frierson Avenue and found him dead inside with multiple gunshot wounds. The door was also damaged, suggesting the woman forced entry. Officials have not disclosed the second victim's name or age, but believe Avalon allegedly targeted him first. The alleged killer, who previously was arrested on child abuse charges in Virginia in 2004, was charged with second-degree homicide in Manatee County. Wells said he's also working with prosecutors to have that charges upgraded to first-degree murder and the death penalty. Avalon, who has five children between both slain ex-husbands, also faced two other child abuse cases in Tampa and Pasco County that were later dropped. So this woman sounds like an out-and-out menace to society and doesn't handle rejection well. I feel bad for her five kids that have two dead fathers. You never know what's in someone's mind, but, I mean, this woman was clearly out of control, and she's going to pay the piper down here in Florida. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Sterling! Sterling, every damn night.
53 past the hour, 53 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday night, coast to coast. I know it's exciting for you, and I'm working on it to get exciting for me, Walter Sterling. Peter in Santa Cruz, California, where I would like to live. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hey. How you doing, Walter? Yeah, I just want to thank you for having me on, yeah, but I'll give a shout-out from KSEO Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
We love KSEO Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah, we've had a few weird things happen on the coast here. We've had, one surfer died in a storm. We found him in a sea cave, and several other people drowned along Garapata State Park. But last week, we had a really rude thing happen. A great white came into the bay, and some lady was swimming there over there in front of Pacific Grove. And the shark just like that meatloaf you saw in the refrigerator, it just grabbed the lady and just submerged in the water. Some guy was stopping at a stop sign at Lover's Point and turned around. He saw a body in a shark's mouth, and the shark just went down into the ocean, disappeared, and the lady was never seen again. So they sent out the Coast Guard. They sent out the sheriffs. They sent out everyone, scuba divers or anything. They didn't find anything in that lady. They didn't find a finger. They didn't find anything.
Well, he was hungry. The shark was hungry.
Just like you when you're at the refrigerator looking at the meatloaf, and it's like, but you're nice enough not to eat the meatloaf because I have a note on it saying it was their meatloaf. But, someone cared about that lady, and the shark didn't ask. It just took the lady, and that was it.
Have you lived your whole life in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, they always downplay those shark attacks and say, oh, we only have a few shark attacks. But we've had at least a half dozen, I can think of, like, fatalities just in the last couple of years.
It's not going to go in the tourism brochure. They're not going to promote the fact they had shark attacks.
Well, it goes into one of those sub themes out of Jaws. We don't want to talk about stuff like that because, we don't discourage the tourist dollar. I mean, I used to be a busboy in Santa Cruz. People used to always ask me, it's like, when's the fog going to clear? When's the fog going to clear? And I'd tell them, well, about 2 o'clock.
Never.
And I'd guarantee that they'd stick around town and maybe go eat a meal on the wharf and leave me a tip there at the table or something like that.
Peter, how did they tip in Santa Cruz? Because that's a moneyed area. Did they tip you well?
They tipped well back then on the Santa Cruz Wharf, but that was part of the protocol. That was like 30, 40 years ago when people were classy and they tipped 20% in general at restaurants. Now I hear it's just not as good because people don't understand the protocol about going out to eat and that they should really tip their wait person at least 15%, if not 20%, because I was a busboy and a waiter, I tend to tip a little bit more. But I don't think that great white tipped anyone when he ran off that lady.
Did you have a good Christmas, Peter?
No, I didn't. I got some salmonella poisoning from some chicken I ate, so I didn't do too well.
Thank you very much for the call, Peter. The rule with chicken, ladies and gentlemen, is never pink. I'm Walter Sterling. I've got an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I have a website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And tonight we have a fantastic recipe for a golden cake, Happy New Year's good luck cake from JB Bakery, and I'll send you that recipe. Send me a request. It's all you got to do, a recipe request at waltersterlingshow.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Keith Mortensen, Dennis Green, Charlie Green, Dennis Sarzynski. These are the great Midnight Misfits of Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Sterling every night, lost in space, mission control.
And yet, there's a real Canadian, a true Canadian, Dave Scott, known for his expertise in metaphysics, Bigfoot, scary stories, UFOs, UFO hearings, everything that we actually discuss. Dave Scott, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
It is always a pleasure to be with you in the Midnight Misfits, and I hope you all had a great Christmas this year, as I did at the Scott household. And thank you very much for having me back, number one.
Did you get a gift of note?
Well, apparently I don't smell that good because Mrs. S.O.R. Got me a brand new bottle of really nice smelling cologne. So now I don't stink bad anymore.
Which brand is it?
Oh, it's called Sexual. And it comes in a little round oval bottle, and it's really nice, actually.
But it would suggest that the problem is more than how you smell.
Probably. Yeah. But, we've been together long enough where I still haven't figured that out yet.
No, you never will.
No, absolutely.
Now, what about, what did Santa bring your kid?
Santa brought my son a megalodon tooth that's about 5.6 million years old. It came out of the oceans off of North Carolina. And my son was very, very happy with that because he's always been interested in dinosaurs and megalodon, the giant shark. And I'll tell you, it's a 4-inch tooth in length. It weighs about 16 ounces. And it's pretty impressive, if you think about it.
Yeah, where do you buy a megalodon tooth?
You can get them anywhere on the East Coast line. I went to a website, well, pardon me, Santa Claus went to a website called thefossilexchange.com, and that's where I ended up getting it, where Santa Claus did.
I mean, can you trade like a Pontiac for a tooth? What do you mean an exchange?
Well, it's just a website. They go down into the ocean, and they actually dig for megalodon teeth. They go down about 100 feet into the ocean and into areas where there is known megalodon activity way, 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 way back in the day. And they bring these like these sand vacuums or fans that blow away the sand, and they were able to dig up these megalodon teeth that have been buried.
And it's completely okay. They have enough of those teeth that they don't need them just for museums.
Exactly. There's thousands of them out there. Thousands.
Wow. That, who it, knew?
And you know what's weird about that is north of me, about a 3.5-hour drive north of me, in a place called Prince George, British Columbia, about a year and a half ago, a mother and daughter were out looking for agates and all sorts of different rocks, and they actually came across half a megalodon tooth way up here in the British Columbia forest.
Wow.
It had never been found up here before.
Wow. It's and how many I'm sorry, how old is the tooth you gave your son? What do they think it is?
They estimated between around 5.6 million years old.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
So your son's happy, you're happy. What'd you give your wife?
Well, I got her a bunch of clothes. I got her a nice bracelet because, you know, you always have to try and impress the wife with one fancy thing every year. So that's what we did. What did you get to Mrs. Sterling?
Mrs. Sterling and I this year made a unique deal, a tricky deal, which was because our children are at the high demand level for gifts. Because of their ages, they're at the high demand level for their gifts. We said, you know what? You know what? We're not going to give each other a gift this year. So we didn't give each other a gift this year, and neither of us missed it. It was a big relief.
You know, Mrs. Essoir and I have said that for the last couple of years, that we were going to get each other nothing, and we failed.
Well, it sounds terrible. Yeah, it sounds terrible, and it also sounds like a test. Well, who's going to break that deal? Well, this year we didn't do it. I've got to tell you, it was such a relief, and it enabled us to give our babies everything that they wanted. And to me, that's what Santa wants to do.
Well, as long as you are happy, that's all that matters.
Yes, we're both very happy with it since a Jaguar was out of the question. Why go lower?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't blame you.
Thank you, sir. What news have you, sir? What news have you, Dave Scott?
Well, after a controversial Joe Rogan podcast with a UFO researcher named Jay Anderson out of the United Kingdom, where he basically opened up a can of worms on the UFO community, both in the media and with the governmental players on this, there's been big debate within the UFO community on UFO media, because one of the things that Rogan also talked about recently with one of his guests was, why are UFOs not a headline story? They seem to be everywhere. There's government people coming out left, right, and center. There is somewhat of an attraction in ratings and with storylines on this, and they can't seem to figure out why the mainstream media refuses to run this story.
And in the end, it really comes down to ego. Ego inside the newsroom. See, a lot of people in the conspiracy world, Walter, believe that there is some sort of hidden agenda with the media when it comes to controversial subjects, like the UFOs. In fact, some people in my community believe that every newsroom seems to have a CIA or some sort of alphabet agency director saying, no, you cannot run that. If we go back to the old 80s movie Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams, where they, you know, he wanted to report the news, and his news was edited by a couple of twin brothers who basically zapped what he could read and what he could not read on the air. Now, a lot of people believe that's still happening today. And, you know, a professional like you, a professional like me who's worked in newsrooms, we know that isn't the case, that it is all about ego. Ego, because a lot of these news directors out there don't want to risk their reputations on UFO stories. Even though if you look at the New York Times article back in 2017, which brought out the fact that the government was hiding some sort of UFO / UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena craft inside their systems, that basically that article in the New York Times article was the second highest grossing New York Times paper ever sold outside of 9/11. And there is a want for this kind of coverage. However, media outlets, whether it's television, newspaper, or radio, really seem to put the kibosh on these types of stories. So this has been a great debate recently on the UFO subject and on social media. And I got to say, I have to agree with them. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, a lot of news directors feel that they don't want their reputation being held around conspiracy theory, where there isn't enough evidence, there isn't enough proof. We'll run it if something comes up, but really it's a non-story. Number two, they tend to think that there is really no complication with this subject in regards to story times and proper evidence, because if you've worked in a newsroom before, you'd know that at least 2 to 3 times a day, you get weird phone calls from people saying, hey, I've got a story for you. Aliens came into my house and terrorized my body, or I have Bigfoot walking through my backyard. And if you come here, I could show you where he is. Well, there's not enough camera, not enough media people to actually cover those types of stories. And of course, when you enter the big markets, the major markets like New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles, you're just not going to have that kind of staff for that, especially for Bigfoot. It isn't going to happen. But that being said, there's a big wonderment right now if the media is part of the conspiracy theory in covering up this subject. Why do they not touch it? You, in fact, are one of the only individuals within North America who actually talks nightly about this subject with me. And thankfully, we're in some very large markets where we could get this point across. But this is the big wonderment. Why is the media not covering this story? So I ask you, as a professional of decades in this field, why do you think this story is so pushed under the rug?
Because news people, more than most, are terrified of being laughed at. And they're going to go to a bar after work, and they might be at a bar with their, quote, competitors. And the competitor go, hey, you carried that little green men story. You're going to win a Murrow for that? That's who they are. These are guys and women in high school who did not have prom dates. They were not on teams. All they've got is the only peer acceptance they can ever hope to have is other news people. And that has suppressed not just this story, but any I call them water in the basement stories. Stories that actually affect us. Water in my basement affects us more than anything that's going to happen in Congress today. But you and I talk about water in the basement. How do I find you in social media, Dave Scott?
SpacedOutRadio.com, Spaced Out Radio on YouTube, and every podcast network.
Sterling every damn Sunday night.
The Gossip Restaurant and Cigar Bar in Melville. That's on Long Island. Yeah, wonderfully, beloved jiggle joint of that area. Well, apparently they were operating as a thinly disguised brothel where managers sold dancers to high rollers for sex behind lock and key and soundproof doors. Explosive new $2.5 million lawsuit claims. If a customer wanted to rape and kill you, they could do it back there. And one dancer quoted in the lawsuit said, yeah, it's someone should have told Rex Yeorman about this place. Okay, well, to go from there. The attorney, by the way, her name is Christine DeMaria. And yeah, as when she was dancing and lap dancing and do all that stuff at jiggle joints all across the New York metro area, tri-state area, she was telling you she was going to law school. Well, guess what? She was. And now she's a high-powered and very attractive attorney. She said these gals just go to make money and just take off their clothes. They don't want to do any extra, much less be forced into it. But that's what happened at the Gossip Restaurant and Cigar Bar. By the way, terrific cigar to get at that place, which apparently is still open, yeah, is an Ashton. Get an Ashton cigar. Any size, kick back and enjoy. I like them better than Macanudos, but that's just me. So you're able to smoke on a cigar, watch beautiful girls dance, and apparently the something-something ain't happening now. So there you go. Something just to keep in mind if you're in the New York area for New Year's Eve. You can't ring in the new year with a special moment of glee. No more glee! Yeah, what killjoys. Apparently at this club, peer pressure, to go and participate as, prostitutes. Yeah, prostitutes. Let's be perfectly clear, by the way. Sexual assault is illegal everywhere. Perhaps not in Iran. And that includes inside a strip club. Yeah, treat those ladies with respect and glory and let them know how much you appreciate them. Appreciate them. Then hand them a 20 and watch them wiggle. From the champagne room with my lawyer, I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling, every damn night.
Happy holidays from Sterling every damn night. It's all right, Sterling every damn night.
And tomorrow, I, Walter Sterling, I have to go do another manly thing that I have no interest in doing that I've dreaded for the past 10 days, which is we bought a car. Yes, it happens. And maybe you're a car person. You like to get a car. I do not. I have never had good car karma. If a car is going to run out of gas, it's going to be my car. If a car is going to have a flat tire, it will be my car. If there are secret warning lights on your dashboard that you don't even know are there. Oh, sure, there's a little flash engine light. That's nothing. There are other warning lights that are much worse. That mean imminent doom. If this goes on, if it's orange and flashes, it means imminent doom. Mine go on. Every light that could go on a dash that, again, you don't even know is there, you haven't even thought about it, is going to go on for me. My cars have unusual problems that other cars never seem to have. I've never had a good car experience, ever. About 6 months ago, we got a new car, and it was supposed to be a minivan or an SUV. I never understood what the difference is. Right there, I don't understand anything about cars. I don't know the difference between an SUV and a minivan. We get this car, and on our first road trip with the whole family, my oldest daughter is sick as a dog. Car sick beyond belief because the back seat is too narrow. She does not have enough room, not enough air, not enough comfort. She is miserable. And she got sick. And I don't blame her. I sat in the back once. I said, let's get rid of this car. We have to get rid of it. My wife, all she has done is complain about the car. She has problems with the car I can't even imagine. She hears and feels things that are wrong with this car. And I say, guys, this is a 9-year-old used car. What do you expect? And it was not made in America. I'm sorry. I'm an American car guy. I have a body built for a sedan DeVille. My body is made for a sedan DeVille. Can the car, my only question in any car is, can the seat go back further? Can this tip back further? Can I get more comfort in this seat? I never needed to get closer to the steering wheel. Go figure. We're taking it in tomorrow and leaving it with them for a day or two to fix it. Everything that could be wrong with this car, we have now imagined is wrong with the car. Not to mention, they screwed up the financing. I pay my car payments once a month. How about you? They set this up for two payments a month. It's the most confusing thing I could ever. A car loan, two payments a month. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Holiday.
Walter Sterling live every damn Sunday night. Yes, 36 past the hour. There you are in the 18-wheeler driving across the country, taking care of our country. I thank you for feeding us, keeping us safe. The best patrol on those highways is the man and women driving 18-wheelers. Thank you. Now, I'd like to point out that once again, I was way ahead of the rest of the media with a very important story about Molinari Pizza with Jumo, J-U-M-O, Instagram, TikTok, J-U-M-O, son of a gun. The New York Post had a big story about her this week, how she's blowing up in social media. Trust me, go to J-U-M-O on TikTok or Instagram. Watch it. You can watch it in front of anybody. And then send me an email at waltermsterling@gmail.com and thank me. Just write thank you in the subject line, and that will be our secret code. We will know why you have sent me thank you. J-U-M-O, just search that, Instagram, TikTok. Gentlemen, this is my Christmas gift to you. And as I say, you can look at it at work, in front of your daughter, no problem. But you will thank me. And I need to be thanked. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. All right, you and I are listening to Sterling every damn Sunday night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Yeah, thank you.
For our first Florida story, we're going to Boynton Beach, Florida, where there's a 66-year-old Florida man. His mom lives with him because she has dementia, and so he gets a home health care nurse to take care of her. She's actually a citizen of another country, and 2 weeks into it, they get married so she can be a citizen. I know it's not real romantic, but it gets worse from there. A few months later, he accuses her of stealing thousands of dollars from his mom's bank accounts, and police believe she was murdered, so they're doing an investigation. And when they searched his house, they find some weed, and he goes, well, at least she didn't find a body. And so that made them suspicious of him, so the cops start searching bank records, and they phone records, and they pinged his car. And after they put all the pieces of the puzzle together, they found her in the backyard. Yeah, she was buried in a pretty shallow hole back there. Not so sure he should have been talking trash in that situation. Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we're going to the Caloosahatchee River, where a charter fishing boat captain caught a fish he had never seen or even heard of before. I can't even pronounce it. Arapaima. It's a super rare fish that only exists in the Amazon basin. Problem is, it has no natural predators and would be an invasive species that would propagate uncontrollably if we were ever to get a toehold or fin hold. It looks prehistoric and scary as hell. But I think I want to eat one. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Sarasota, Florida. Deputies have set up a roadblock because there was a bad crash just before 11 p.m. While they're attempting to clear the scene and make sure everyone's okay and get all the rubble out the street, a 24-year-old Florida man in a BMW decides he's going to drive through the roadblock, drags a cone for about 100 yards or so. And so after the deputies dove out of the way, dust themselves off, they jump in their cars, and a couple of them go chase him down. When they pulled him over, he's wearing boxers, undershirt, and flip-flops. And they're like, where are you going? Why are you in such a hurry? He said, I'm headed to the Ritz-Carlton. I have business there. And he said, really, at 11 p.m. at night? So they searched his vehicle. They found some physics textbooks and a Bible. I'm just kidding. They found a bag of cocaine, a rolled-up dollar bill, and a hash oil vaporizer. He failed the breathalyzer, so also a DUI stacked on top of that. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Lehigh Acres, where a 21-year-old Florida man goes and knocks on his next-door neighbor's front door. When the older lady answers, she's a little stunned because he's naked. Where's your clothes, son? He says, can I come in? She goes, how about no? Shuts the door, locks it, thinking if she ignores it, he'll go away. 30 minutes later, she looks in her backyard. 21-year-old Florida man is now still without clothes, jumping on her trampoline. She tells him to get off the trampoline, get off her property. He gets off the trampoline, starts coming toward the door. So she shuts it and locks it right before he gets there. Calls the cops. They arrest him. And as a guy, how do you jump on a trampoline naked? Wouldn't that kind of hurt? Or I don't know. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida stories, we're going to go down to the beautiful Florida Keys, where it's some of the best snorkeling in the world. And sometimes when you're out, you can see beautiful array of corals, exotic fish that exist nowhere else, and $1.5 million worth of cocaine bundled up and wrapped in a container near the shore. And just pretend like I'm putting on my sunglasses while I'm saying this, but this gives a whole new meaning to the term Florida Keys. Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen. Alizira turned toward me, placing her hands on my chest. You're not upset? No, why would I be? With one finger, I tilted her chin upward to meet my gaze, the moonlight reflected in her emerald eyes. Regardless, if this is all part of who you are, then I look forward to everything you're willing to share with me. Her eyes closed as I leaned down. I brushed my lips across hers with the faintest of touches, afraid if I pushed too far, she'd be summoned away again. No one appeared to interrupt us, and the gentle gesture paved the way for a more zealous kiss. She slid her palms over my shoulders, locking her fingers behind me, and her lips parted to welcome me inside. The sweet taste of honeyed wine on her tongue drove me wild with desire. I tightened my grasp on her waist, pressing her body to mine. As I explored her luscious mouth, I threaded my free hand through her thick curls. When I grazed the bare skin at the base of her neck, she shuddered. "Stay with me tonight," she purred against me in between kisses. "I want to be with you." My heart thudded until I thought it might explode. I couldn't believe what I'd heard. "Are you sure? We haven't known each other for very long, and I don't want you to think I know all I need to know about you, Caleb." Her fists knotted in the collar of my shirt, and her hips rolled toward me. And when I shivered in the corner of my cold, terrible cell, thoughts of you kept me warm. I imagined what it would be like to be safe in your arms, to feel your body touching mine. He traced the edge of the shirt, fingertips leaving a blazing trail across my skin. And I wondered if you thought the same things about me. Her words aroused all sorts of provocative memories. I did. Believe me, I did. I took her hand and kissed the top of it. I suppose it's in poor taste to refuse a queen's invitation in her own castle. Alizira tossed her head back and laughed, a wide grin spreading over her face. Let's go inside. View from the balcony will be even more spectacular at sunrise. A jumble of feelings, from disbelief to red-hot lust, clouded my mind as I followed her back through the doors. Inside her chambers, she used an iron rod to stoke the embers inside a fireplace. Once she had rekindled the flames, she walked the perimeter of the room, extinguishing all the lamps hanging from the walls. When the last of the light came from the dancing fire, she stood in front of it and beckoned to me. I walked slowly, taking in the sight of her exaggerated hourglass figure silhouetted against the orange blaze. Alizira reached for the bottom of my shirt and gave it a yank. Grateful the darkness camouflaged some of my nervous blushing, pulled off the lightweight garment and let it flutter away. Before it hit the floor, she swanned back into my arms and guided me down for another kiss. The heat emanating from the hearth mingled with the fervor building between us. As her chest flattened against me, the plush fabric of her dress rubbed across my bare skin, teasing me with what lay beneath. Without relinquishing control of her lips, I skimmed my palms over the swell of her hips, drawing them up her sides and to the front of her body. Pliant flesh bulged over the top of her snug bodice, begging for attention. I cupped it through the thick velvet, and a soft moan escaped from her mouth into mine. She steered me toward the ties holding her bodice in place. I unfastened the knot, and the weight of her chest helped me loosen the laces. Dipping my hands inside the open flaps, I slid the gown off her shoulders. She pulled away to slip her arms out of the sleeves, and the dress cascaded off her body. Carefully, she stepped out of the burgundy puddle, removing her embroidered slippers as she did so. The roaring blaze in the fireplace bathed her in an ethereal glow, exposing every inch of her to me. Oh my, I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris, technical wizard Dave Scalish, operations Frank Canal, sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres, voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brook and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance, Craig Kitchen. Program originated by Chris Olivero. Long-suffering executives David Gatgroff and Greg Stalker. With respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.
I'm a great one.